Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shir Mandaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masachet Bava Kama, Perek Gimel. We're in the middle, towards the beginning of Mishnah Tet on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. Shor Shavim Atayim Shnagach Shor Shavim Atayim. So the two Shvarim are of the same value. Ve'in HaNevela Yafak Klum. Theoretically, we're talking about a case where the Nevela is worth nothing. He says that's exactly what the pasuk is talking about, a case where the nevela doesn't figure in, and it's only the live mazik that is split. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're right about the halacha, and that fulfills the first half of the pasuk, but the second half of the pasuk about splitting the nevela is not included, which means I agree with you in practice, but that's not what the pasuk is talking about. If the nevela is worth something, each one takes half the value of the living one and of the dead one, which means that each one of them will get 125. Now, Rabbi Meir will agree with that in practice, so we have to see what the difference is. Tanur Banan. Shor Shavim Atayim, Shnagach Shor Shavim Atayim, Vanevela Yafach Meshimizuz, Zenotel Chatziachai Vechatziamait, Zenotel Chatziachai Vechatziamait, Vezehu Shor Amur Batorah, Divar Behuda. That's an explication of our Mishnah. Rameir Omer Ainzeh Shor Amur Batorah. So here we hear Rameir even more strongly state that that's not what the Pasuk's talking about. Shor Shavim Atayim, Shnagach Shor Shavim Atayim, Vanevela Yafach Klum, Alzenemar Vechashuat Shor Achai, and now we hear what Ramir does with Rabbi Yehuda's phrase, what do I do with that? Meaning, the amount that the death devalued in the Nizak, we split up in the Chai. So Gamat HaMeit Yechatzun is not referring to splitting the Nevela, it's referring to the value of the animal that was alive versus what it is dead. We take half of that out of the chai. Now, mechti ben Rameir ben Yehuda, my high mea ve'esrim chamisha shakil, v'hai mea ve'esrim chamisha shakil. Either way, they're both going to get 125 in the case we just outlined. My benahu, what is the difference between them besides mashma udorshin, how they understand the pasuk? The difference is whether the devaluation of the nevela happens on the Nizak's watch or on a shared watch. So it belongs to the Nizak. It's his animal, it died, and the devaluation is his problem. No, they have to split it, because immediately there's a partnership in both the Mazik and the Nizak, and the both Shvarim. So this is now Rabbi's response to Rava. Matzino the Rabbi Yehuda, you find something very strange, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Tam chamur mimuad. You have a possible scenario where the tam ends up paying more than a muad would pay. And let's see how that plays out. that is, if the, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the in the context of the muad, the ba'alim mataplim benevela, that we already saw earlier on in the first parak, that the owners keep the nevela, and whatever devaluation happens on their watch, and we measure it based on the amount of damage that happened between being alive and what happened at death. And here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of the Tom, the Mazik is going to have to pay also for what the devaluation happened afterwards. And if you think Rabbi Yehuda indeed holds for the possibility that a Tom could be more chamur than a Muad, can it not, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we have such a Mishnah that says, later on in Perek Dal, Tom Chayav Muad Patur, in the case where a Shomer was given the shore, and he did a more effective Shmirah, somewhat effective Shmirah, say, in the case of a tam, he's still chayv chatzin nezek. In the case of muad, since he did shmirah, is patur. So, eimer shamat le Rabbi Yehuda le'inyan shmirah. That's in that unique case. Tachtivi kroy, we have psukim there. Le'in tashlumin mishamat le. But in the case of tashlumin, since when could we imagine that tam would be more chamur than muad? Atan Rabbi Yehuda omer yachol shor shememaneh shenagach shor shaveh chamesh tlayim. An expensive shor worth 100 was no geach a shor worth 20 at 25. Vanevela yafasela. The nevela is only worth 5. Zenotel chatzia chayv v'chatzia meit. Zenotel chatzia chayv v'chatzia meit. You might think that they have to split everything, which means that they that each one of them gets 52.5, which means that the nizak now has more than he had to start with. Amarta v'chimuad lameyot say, why is muad different than tam? Lachmir alav lachel alav. Do you think it's to make it more chamor lachel? Lachmir lachmir alav. We know that it's lachmir to make it more stringent. Umamuad and mashalim lamashi hizik. Muad only pays for what he damaged. Tam hakalo kol shekain. Tam certainly can't pay more than what he damaged, and here he's paying more than what he damaged, because the original damaged animal was worth 25, and now it's worth 5, so you damage 20 worth. Even if it pays everything, it's still 20. That's not 52. So we discount Rava, and we say Rabbi Yochanan's take, which is the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, is Shevach Nevela. If the Nevela went up, meaning if after death, suddenly the market value of animals went way up, so even the dead animal's worth more, that's the question. Who gets it? Mar Savra de Nizak. Avi Rameir says that all belongs to the Nizak. It's his gain. Mar Savra Palga. He says, no, half of that value goes to the Mazik. V'hanidu kakash le Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda asked the question. Hash tadamar chas rachmoni lavei de Mazik. Deshakil b'shivcha. I see that the Torah had rachmonot on the Mazik, that he gets to take some of the added value, the appreciation of the Nevela. So, and then Rabbi Yehuda then goes ahead and asks, Yachol, Shor, Shavecham, etc., etc. He's going to see that question in a minute, but the bottom line is that we understand that Rabbi Yehuda takes that into account and says, I see the Torah had Rachmanut on the Mazik, allowing him to participate in the appreciation of the Nevela. So we see that's his position. Now let's see how he takes it. Yachol, Shor, Shavecham, Yislaim, Shnagach, Shor, Shavemaneh. Let's say you have a very cheap animal. It's worth 25 zoos. Is nogeach ashor worth 100 zoos? Vanivela yifachamishim zoos, and the nevela is worth more than the mazik was before. Zenotel chatzia chayv chatzia meit. Zenotel chatzia chayv chatzia meit. Can you imagine them splitting the money? Then the mazik ends up getting more than his original animal was worth. Amarta ichar matzinu mazik niskar shezen niskar. Where do you find a mazik who gains from the nezek? V'yomer shalem shalem. The Torah says that the mazik has to pay. Balim shalim vein balim notlim. Meaning the owners have to pay. They don't come and collect money. They don't gain from it. That's not possible. So Rabbi Yehuda says, why would I even think this is possible? Because I see that the Torah does give some benefit to the mazik, in that he gets to share in the appreciation. Okay, now my v'yomer, why did Rabbi Yehuda have to add that thing in? The shalem shalem, b'chite mahani mili hechadik apseid l'nizak. I might think that the only time the mazik can't gain is when it comes out of the nizak's pocket. Hechadik apseid l'nizak, but in a case where the nizak doesn't himself lose, hechadik apseid l'nizak, go on shor shavah chamesh laim, for instance, this case. So you have two animals worth the same. And after the one does the nezek, suddenly animal meat goes way up, so the nevela is worth more than the original animal is worth. So shakol nami mazik b'shivcha. I might think that the mazik gets to split the appreciation, right? Because it's no loss to the nizak. Either way, he's going to get his half amount. That's why it says shalim shalim, balim shalim ven balim notlim, to tell you that even in a case where the nizak doesn't lose, nonetheless the mazik always has to pay; can never gain. Right, so that's the rule. Okay, Amar le Rav Acha bar tachlifa le Ravas. He said as follows: We came at Sinu Rabbi Yehuda tam shalim yoter mechatzin nezek. But now what ends up happening is that a tam will pay more than chatzin nezek. You have to pay exactly half nezek, and not more. How would more than half? Can take a look at Rashi. We assume that it's only Rameir who says that vegamata meit yachatzun means that the devaluation of the animal from a live one to a dead one is now, Rameir says, is split into the payments In other words, the chai pays for half of that. And Rabbi Yehuda has a different drasha, says no, that the carcass is also co-owned. So if that's the case, he rejects that payment. That means, according to him, you could end up paying more than half. So he says, Rava says, no, he does hold that pshita. So Manali, where does he get it from? From Gamatamet. Rabbi Yehuda already used that phrase to tell you that they split the carcass. Can yichtov cry ve'etamet, my v'gam. Why does it say v'gamatamet? Shmamanatartis. So it's two things. First of all, to tell you that they are now co-owners in both the live one and the dead one. And the second one, to tell you that the devaluation of the dead one from a live one to a dead one is now split and taken out of the live one. Okay. Good. Next Mishnah. Mishnah Yod. Yesh machayav al maaseh shel ro fatur al maaseh atzmo. You could have a situation where something that your shore does, you're chayiv for, but if you did it yourself, you'd be patur, or vice versa. It's kind of tricky here. Ketzad, shoro should be yesh patur. Let's say your shore did some damage and shamed somebody in the process. You don't have to pay for bullshit. V'ush be yesh chayav, but if you embarrass somebody, you'd have to pay. Shoro should see me'at enav dovi pilchino, if your shore attacked your own slave and knocked out a limb, patur, the slave doesn't go free. But if you do it, you're chayav. Now flip it. If your shor attacked your parents and did a chabala, then you have to pay for the damage. You're patur because you're going to be killed. If your animal lit a fire on Shabbat, you're chayav for the damage of the fire. But if you did it, you'd be patur. Why? On the both of those two cases, you're going to be killed, and because of the rule of kom lebederabimine, you don't also pay for the financial loss. Now, he taught in front of Rabbi Yochanan, call him a kalkalim turin. On Shabbat, any act which is done, which is not constructive, but is damaging, you're always patur for. Any of the malachot. Chutz michov elumavir, except for wounding somebody, and havara. So Rabbi Avahu's contention was, even if you do those in a way that just is damaging your chayev. Amar le, fuk tani livra, take your mishnayot out, chov elumavir ena mishnah. That's untrue. They're like everything else. The only way your chayev is if they're constructive. If you think there is such a rule, chovel betzarich lekalbo, the only time you be chayev for chovel is if you did the damage, you hurt somebody because you wanted some blood to give to your dog for whatever reason. Mavir b'tzarich lafaro. You burned something because you wanted the ashes, not because you wanted the thing gone. That's malacha shenet zricha lagufa, but rather because you wanted the result, which is the ashes. Now let's see. Tanan shor shadlikat agadish b'shabbat chayav shadlikat agadish b'shabbat patur. In our mishnah, we said that if you lit something on Shabbat, you're patur because you're going to get killed. And it parallels you and your ox. Just like your ox didn't burn something because he wanted the results, he just burned it because he's an ox. So same thing, you are liable for Shabbat, even though you had no interest in the results of the fire except the burning. And we said that you're exempt because you're going to be killed for it. In other words, you're chayav for chilul Shabbat. So you see that Chilul Shabbat can happen when you burn something, not because you want the ashes, but just because you burned it. Well, let's flip it. Sharo Dumya Didei. Let's flip it and say we're talking, you're the model, the person is the model. Every malacha has to be something that you really want the positive results of. And the shore is now parallel to that. Mahu de Kaboile. Sharo Nami de Kaboile. So the same thing. It has to be where the ox wants the results. Sharo Hechemishkachala. What's a case where an ox would make a fire because it wants the results of the fire, not the destruction? You know what the case is? Bishor pikeach. It's a sharp shor. Shaltalo neshicha begavo. He's got a bite on his back. Gaboy lemiklayv ingedar bekutma. He wants to make a fire so he can then roll around in the ashes. So menayadin. And how do we know if that's the case? The levata de kalya commander bekutma. That's bekutma. It's very easy. After he burns it, you see him rolling around in the ashes. You see why he did it. Umika ki agave. Since when do you have such a smart animal? In Tahu Torah Dahavi Be Rav Papa, there was a shore in Rav Papa's house. Tahavi Kevin Lechinche, his teeth hurt him. Ayulu Patke Lenaziata Vashati Shichar Itse. He went and tore open a barrel and drank some mead and he felt better. In other words, there are animals that are smart enough to know how to make themselves feel better. But how can you make that equation in our Mishnah of saying the shor is like him, just like he has to have a positive desire out of this, so the animal. By the way, that doesn't mean that if the shor burns something down just inadvertently and he's a regular dumb ox, then you're not chayav. Right? The first equation that we have that distinguished them was the shor shames somebody somehow, you're patur. But if you shame somebody, you're chayav. How can you have such a parallel? After all, a person is chayav, we assume, for shaming somebody because he intended to shame him. You don't have such a thing with a shor. The answer is going to gaven lahazik. The answer is if you intend to do damage, which both a shor and a person could have. The halacha is that you're chayav for boshet if you intended to do damage, even if you did not intend to shame somebody. As long as there was kavanah lahazik, and that we saw earlier on in our parak, towards the beginning. Now, that's one take on the Mishnah. Rava has a whole different take in solving the problem of the kavana in our Mishnah and the issue of a fire. Why would you be patur because you're getting a death penalty? He says as follows. Nitin b'shogeg. We're talking about a case where you did the malacha b'shogeg, and even though you're not going to be chayav mitah, you're still patur from tashlumin, which means also if you would do it in such a way that you'd be patur because it's mekalkel, and you'd still be patur from tashlumin. Tanur b'chizkiya, makeh adam makeh b'mah. In the same pasuk, hitting a person, hitting an animal are equated. Ma makeh b'mah lo chilakta b'in Ba ben shogeg u'ben mezi, just like if you hurt an animal, we don't care if you did it intentionally or not. Ben kaven shem kaven, ben derech yirida derech aliyah. Just like we also don't care if you did it by when you're walking up the ladder or down the ladder. The fotro mamon al chayvo mamon. You're chayiv in every case. In other words, the Torah says when you hurt an animal, you hurt somebody's property. It doesn't matter. You intent, you're not intent, inadvertent, negligent. Doesn't matter. You're chayiv. Af makeh adam. Same thing with makeh adam. Same thing, don't make those distinctions. In every case, you potter him in a case where he's getting a greater punishment. Meaning, when he's theoretically getting a greater punishment. He said, how can you possibly say that our Mishnah is about shogeg? But it says the reason you're potter is because you are going to be judged to death. And that's not shogeg. This is what the Mishnah means. Since this is an act that if you did it b'mezid, you'd be chayav mitah. Let's say that you burned because you wanted the afer. So now, even though you did it in a way that you're not fully chayav, you're still potter. So the combination of that interpretation and the Bechizkiah gives us our second take on the Mishnah. And we will pause with that and pick it up for the last podcast in Perek Gimel the next time we meet. Everybody should have a wonderful day.